makes back from Canada. He makes it back. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And we do have the Astros back in action tonight. And that's going to be fun to watch. They're not as hot as the – they play better baseball. They're not as hot as the Boston Red Sox. Have you seen what Boston's doing? Have you paid attention to right before the break and then after the All-Star break?
Yeah, and they're doing it by coming from behind in all these games.
A ton. They've scored in the ninth inning in five straight games. It's like a major league record. They are 26-3 over their last 29. 26-3. That includes a 15-game win streak that started before the All-Star break and carried on after the All-Star break. And they're in the midst of an 8-game winning streak. So they've had a 15 and 8-game winning streak during their 26-3.
You know, people are funny with their numbers because John saw the stat that the Astros have the best record since like May 20th, and that's something he's mentioned several times. Meanwhile, you've got a team who's won 26 out of 29 baseball games.
I know.
That might be the one number you pay attention to in terms of who's
hot. They're bad in May, though.
Who's hot and who's not.
But they're also third in their division. I mean, that's a real baseball division.
Yeah.
It's not like our division. But
And again, Boston was so bad.
And just the point.
They were terrible. And they're still 28-29 at home to this day after going 26-3.
Great on the road.
But they are great on the road.
Just
man,
to point
35-22.
Speaking to a real baseball division, the Astros, one of the hotter teams in baseball, just lost 2 out of 3 to the last place team in that division.
Yeah.
AL East. Oh,
to the East, yeah.
Yeah, SEC, AL East.
Yeah.
we're fighting for the automatic qualifiers.
Madison, is that who we are?
Yeah, Tulane.
We're automatic qualifying for the tournament, potentially. 59-57 right now. They're still a game and a half ahead of the Texas Rangers, who have won a couple in a row. So the Astros back in action against the Padres. They're at the Padres tonight. And that game, I want to make sure it's on. It's a regular game. You'll be able to watch it as you regularly do.
Sunday is Sunday Night Baseball.
Sunday Night Baseball, NBC. Yeah. We got that going on at 7:20. Renell Blanco against Shane Ray today. Not Shane, I'm sorry. Against Robbie Ray, not the former edge rusher from Missouri who kind of
the other one
flunked out.
It was
in the
Shane
NFL.
Ray and Michael Sam at the same time, right? Weren't they both on our team?
Yeah. And both of them are working Amazon now, I think. Then you have Peter Lambert, and then they don't know who they're going to go with on Sunday. TBD. They've currently got Christian Javier. The first game at San Francisco, then Wisniewski, and then Brown. So we'll see how they handle the third game of that series against the Padres. But it's Renell Blanco and Peter Lambert in your first two against the Padres. The Padres are right there with you. They're 60-56. They're third in the NL West. They're 9.5 games back in their particular division. So we'll see how this one rolls. You want to take 2 of 3. In San Diego, and then you're on the road against San Francisco. So you got 6 straight on the road on the West Coast swing, San Diego, and then San Francisco, and then you're back home against Seattle. So this 9-game stretch, all these stretches, every stretch we have, this is a big stretch. But, I mean, legitimately in this one, you're going on the road. If you can split out 3-3, chances are you're fine in this division. You just don't want any kind of disastrous. Even a 2-4, you're probably okay, but you'd rather, if you can get a 3-3 or 4-2, 4-2 is a killer for the rest of the division. A 3-3, you're probably fine. You can't have a disastrous run on the West Coast. You just don't want that to happen. But Seattle's not making any moves, and we'll see what the Rangers do. After that, Seattle comes to town, and then the Angels, and then the A's. Now, the Angels and A's, you have not done well against them combined, but on paper, that's very advantageous that they're coming to town here mid-August from the 18th through the 23rd. So something to keep an eye on, but there's still 3 more baseball series to go before that. The Hall of Fame game started, so NFL season's officially underway. You had the Panthers got beat, right? Cardinals won 36-33.
No. Haynes King led the game-winning drive.
That's right.
On the final play.
Like John Elway-ish scramble to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people, and that was my comp on him when I wrote him up, was John Elway, if John Elway played wide receiver somewhere, if he moved positions. So Haynes King is former Aggie, Haynes King, More Aggies making it in the league.
Is he an Aggie or a Yellow Jacket, really?
That's
doing big things.
Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher Aggie.
Play for Jimbo Fisher. Go to the league. Mm-hmm. With some stops
quarterback
in between.
Okay. He's been known as a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, Haynes King leaves Jimbo and finds his way at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, he did.
Quarterback whisperer.
Quarterback whisperer.
Brent Key.
And I was going to tell.
Is he at Georgia Tech? Is that the one? Yeah.
Brent Key is the one at Georgia Tech. I was going to tell Sean.
Pry and Key, I get the confused. Pry is the one who lost his job at Virginia Tech, but then got rehired as the defensive coordinator.
Moved down the hall.
Yeah, he got fired.
Wait. He's at the same school?
Yes. Yeah. James Franklin.
Because he's a Franklin guy.
Yeah. He left Franklin to get the job, and then Franklin kept him after they fired him to hire Franklin.
And he kept him. That never happens.
No.
Not that quick. You know, like at the maybe same you school.
You don't want
back
a guy from
after
the,
a few years, but.
Yeah, it's hard to want to keep the guy, a guy who was at the previous regime, to keep him on staff, but he was also your regime.
Yeah.
He was with your staff previously, so hangs on to him. Texas. I told you I have some good news. So my son came to me 2 years ago, and he said, Dad, I found a guy off of social media that nobody's talking about. He hasn't played any high school football at all. This guy is unbelievable. His traits, his athleticism. I saw him at a camp. I saw one camp video of him on an Instagram. And so I went and did a deep dive on him, reached out to him on social media. And he's French. And he is in East Texas. And so my son just went to work on getting him into camp. He went to he got him into the Alabama camp. He was did a lot of work on him, Then he works in the football department of Alabama, works under the offensive line coach. And then the kid played a full year of football, and my son cut up all the tape and said, hey, Courtney, who's the GM and at the time Coach Cap, said, want to make sure you guys see this guy. This guy's going to be, has a chance to be special. And then Alex sent me a, I said, man, put your name on it. You keep talking about how this kid's going to be special and blah, blah, blah. I said, you need to go ahead and put your name on it. So he sent me a message. He said, okay. And he said he's going to be, he sent something saying Ishmael Kamara is going to be a generational offensive lineman. And
G-word. Wow.
And now.
Coming from your family?
I know.
You don't like when people use that word.
I don't like generational. But I like that I told him to put his name on something, and so he did it. And sure enough, he ends up becoming a five-star. Alex said this pretty early. He ends up becoming a five-star. I know Alex thought they had a really good shot at landing him at Alabama. He ends up going to Texas, but it's not just Ishmael Kamara. The Longhorns also land a very special running back in Landon Williams Callis from Randall High School. What is it called? Richmond Randall. It's from, what's his high school? It's here
Richmond
in
Richmond Randall.
Yeah, Richmond Randall. It's in the Fort Bend County area. He is the cousin, I believe, of Jaquizz Rogers.
Makes sense. He's 5'7".
Yeah, another smaller back. Yeah, that's true. Now, he has track speed. He's also a track runner with tremendous speed, where Quiz was more of a 4.56 40 guy, not the fastest guy, could make you miss, could run with tremendous leverage. Landon Williams Callis is blazing fast, and Willie Fritz told me he has probably the greatest huddle highlight tapes that he's ever seen for a running back. And he is smaller. They list him at 5'8", 185. He's probably in the 190 area. He's going to get a little bit bigger. But I'm good friends with his agent / uncle. We've been good friends for a long time, and we were talking about him. And I talked to Rodney about how the process went down, because Rodney really studied all the offenses. Missouri was in the mix because of their running games and how they handle the running backs. Houston was in the mix, Texas A&M, Texas, and he ended up going to Texas. And so I think that Texas just picked up a couple of massive, massive yeses from two really good players. They're playing their senior year, obviously, this year. And so they'll be in. They'll be at University of Texas next year.
Are these hard commits? Are we? Can they be swayed?
I asked the question to Rodney. He goes,
my recruitment is closed.
Yeah.
He said, "Look, the phone is always." He said, "I don't turn my phone the ringer off or anything." He said, "The ringer's on." He said, "But you know, he's going to Texas." I said, "Okay, well let's." But Texas has the type of, and you know what? One of the reasons was is because Sark. Rodney just really, he thought Sark had a great plan. Sark handles his running backs well. He allows his running backs to catch a ball out of the backfield as well. He just thought that was a good landing spot for Williams Callis. But Landon made his own decision where he wanted to go. And, you know, he really liked Houston, too. Houston was in the mix. They were up against it. There are some factors, obviously, for Houston are up against it. You know, I don't fill up the stadium, unfortunately.
Well, they have a new policy in place that, particularly for the students, that tailgating is over for the students 30 minutes before kickoff. You guys just can't, they don't want the students just hanging out
like that.
Outside. Mm-hmm. We want you to end this thing. We're going to end it for you if you don't, and you got to come in to watch the team play. Because apparently some, and it's understandable, people just want to hang out and party.
Yeah.
They want to be at an event maybe as opposed to actually watching the game. So Houston is trying to find ways to get people in that building for what should be a good football team.
And that's crazy. It said you are going to be arrested, cuffed and arrested if you're out at the...
I did not see that.
You're still in the
they'll break
17
the
minutes
clubs.
Before the game. Yeah.
I mean...
Water hoses.
The Houston campus police has a huge investment in German Shepherds now.
Yes. Get your ass in that stadium. So congratulations to your for
thank you
guys who have
thank
never you. Played college football.
You're welcome, yet, Sean.
I'm just assuming they're going to be
Texas is back, folks.
Is back, folks. Texas wins the national championship this year.
Mm.
That's bad news for everybody. I'm just calling
you.
It right
is,
now.
Is that you, you. Backing up your boy Josh? Josh has the
paint.
Yeah.
No, does he have the Longhorns?
He's got
winning?
The Horns beating the Canes in the final in a title game.
No. Oh, I think Notre Dame's going
to
be really
tear apart 10 to noon.
No. Yeah.
Notre Dame's going to be
if that was the game.
No. I mean, and yeah,
Sean, it's a real possibility.
Sean yeah. Mapes is out this week. He's on vacation this week.
Either that or him. One of us ain't showing up the week after the game.
Joe will have to like swap me and Brian maybe not Brian too.
He's a Texas guy too. Yeah. And AJ's filling in for that. If Texas win, I'm going to need AJ to be the producer
well,
that
Texas
week.
Texas has a quarterback who should be better this year. You got good running backs. Probably the best left tackle in football. Very good wide receivers. Very good wide receivers. Wingo, Coleman.
They got no baby Jesus, though.
Defensively, no. You got your little slot receiver.
There's only one Jesus in Texas, Dale.
Vince Young?
The Lord. No.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're not committing blasphemy for a 17-year-old receiver.
I'm talking about South Florida. And there's maybe two Jesuses. One baby and then the man up top.
What's your guy's name? Corley?
Malachi Corley is the one who
gave up his number. Yeah,
who would ask for $1 million, and Devontae just asked.
And then he went right to Woody Johnson. Hey, said, give me that number. He goes, okay, give him the number.
So Corley,
you
lost.
Had a chance to get $17,000.
He tried to go for $1 million, didn't get it. It is Malachi Tony.
Malachi Tony.
Yes,
Malachi Tony. That's who the one you're blaspheming.
I didn't call him Malachi baby Jesus. Tony. That's what the people love him. Call him that.
Oh, my guy Dusty, who's heavily involved in NIL and player representation, he said I was at Miami earlier this week. The Canes are absolutely loaded. They'll beat Notre Dame by 2 scores.
They do have
that's a foolhardy thing.
I think what you will see,
although you have a quarterback,
is the offense will look more like the 2024 offense, not the Carson Beck offense that we saw last year.
Closer to Ward than Beck,
yeah.
I mean,
they're going to throw it around.
Throwing it more?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with...
They brought in Cooper Barkate from Duke, who was Mensa's receiver. They got a couple other guys. I think you're going to see a more high-powered offense. They're going to look to put people away.
Notre Dame's got really... I think I like C.J. Card. Their secondary is phenomenal. Tay Johnson, I think, is the best safety. I was looking at safeties yesterday. I'm like, yeah, he's the best. And then some people think it's a kid out of Georgia. I don't. And then they probably had the best corner.
Yeah, a ridiculous corner.
Also, Leonard Moore, who's the best corner. But, yeah, there's some really good teams in college football this year. It should be a really good year. But I think the Longhorns have a lot. I think this could end up being their year.
Are they going to use being snubbed as motivation? the three loss snubbed Longhorns. They can use it as motivation.
I mean, if you need to use motivation, if you're Texas, that's weak. You're Texas. You have more money than anybody.
Got wronged last year.
They were wronged.
You know, like, how could they do this to us? Win a game. Stop squeaking by Kentucky and Mississippi State. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Chris in the Woodlands, before we get to a break. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, I love listening in Lance and John being out. I wanted to ask you, I'm sure John would have a lot of feedback on this, but I wanted to see what you thought about the French player, Julie Tatart. You were speaking about French athletes going to Texas, but there's a WNBA player,
she's not a WNBA player.
The French league. Once it comes to WNBA, averaging 20 and 20, and it feels like the WNBA is a little quiet. I wanted to see what you might think. I know if John was on the show, he'd be very vocal about this.
Well, this is a trans player who is very muscular, goes hard at the boards. It's in the French second division, French women's second division. Snatched a rebound off the glass and went coast to coast with a Euro step finish. I said, "Ooh, this looks different." And just highly skilled. I don't know if the WNBA will bring her in. We will see. I just saw the numbers. Impressive. You don't see many 2020 players out there.
Sure.
But I don't really follow French second division women's basketball.
Julie isn't able to elevate and become a member of one of the first division teams. She's still only a second division player?
Not a first division from what I read.
Okay. So I would imagine if she can't even make it to the first division of French basketball.
Did you see Julie go from rim to rim?
I imagine the teams
Maybe
over in France
all the
saw
way
it.
Rim.
I imagine the teams over in France saw it too, and Julie is still not a part of the first division.
6'3" center. Everyone, you can use a little beef in the front court.
I'm just saying.
Asia Wilson stopper.
Asia Wilson. Did you see her lock down Caitlin Clark?
Caitlin Clark, 8 turnovers yesterday. I would just think that we don't know all there is to know about women's basketball across the world, but the WNBA is considered the best league in the world, and rightfully so. I don't know how good the French divisions are, but Julie ain't even a French division or first division player.
I don't believe so.
No, so maybe.
Giannis was drafted out of the Greek second division.
Yeah, stop hating on second division.
Maybe she's the women's Giannis.
But how old was Giannis on that? 18?
16.
Yeah.
Julie Tatart.
So maybe we hold off on the existential dread of Julie coming over here and playing the WNBA. Perhaps let her dominate the first division in the French league before I get concerned. Can that happen? Is Julie going to be the MVP?
Yeah.
Is that in the cards?
You hit a 2020.
You keep mentioning 2020. What about her other games?
No, that's the average. Oh, is that
what she averages?
I think that's the average. Yeah. If you average a 2020, I would say you're dominating the league.
Average 2020. Julie dominates the second division. That's like saying,
yeah, averaging 21 and 20, you're like, going to win the MVP.
In the second division, that's like saying some AAA bombers is doing it at Sugar Land.
I mean,
who cares?
34 years
who
old.
Who cares? Oh, 34, huh?
Well, she didn't start playing women's basketball until more recently.
Yeah.
So
perhaps.
I was about to ask, like, why isn't Gino Auriemma again?
I know. Scooper. Gino would have been trust me. Gino or Kim McCall here, somebody would have been like, why do we not have her here with us?
Asleep at the wheel. Come on.
Yeah, no, it didn't play, wasn't on the radar in her
20s. Not in the player pool?
No.
Yeah. Well.
Not to say, but 21, averaging 21 points and 20 boards a game, Dale. That's going to get some attention.
No,
that's MVP caliber stuff right there.
I've seen that. I know it's breaking through now that Chris is even calling about it. I think John might have mentioned it in passing.
Oh, he mentioned it.
This week, but I feel like I got bigger concerns. I can't
2020 in the second French league?
I can't find a way to care, honestly, about any of the things people care about in regards to this story. Can't care.
Apparently, no three-point
too busy.
When the comments come in, do you want to at least work her out?
I don't even know that I'll care when the comments are here.
Okay.
About the comments or anything else involving this particular story. I hope the comments do well. I don't think they're going to pick up Julie. Tatart.
A really piss poor
three-point shooter. Three-point shooter. The game has changed.
Well, but you're averaging 20-20. Get in the paint. That's what I say.
Well, I mean, looking at the defense, looking at the board totals, it looks like Wilt Chamberlain. Here's 30 rebounds, 20. She had a run of 28 rebounds, 30 rebounds, and 24 rebounds in three games.
You know, I've got an idea. Can we get a made-for-TV event where Sophie Cunningham plays Julie in one-on-one and see how it goes? Would you watch?
I would.
Well, yes,
I absolutely, and all of us would watch.
Yes, if Julie got to play Sophie in one-on-one.
I would watch.
Brought to you by Elon.
I would watch.
I think we would all watch.
I would watch.
Play Travis on the call.
Sure. Throw in all the people who want to weigh in on this. Go ahead.
I'm not sure who the favorite is.
I think I know who wins. It ain't Sophie.
I think that's part of the problem. 822 here on ESPN 97.5. You guys can jump in. Just not about that topic. 713-780-ACI. I cleaned that up, Dale. 713.
Nice job.
I safeguarded the show. Safeguard repairs, safeguard replays. 713-780-3776.
Listening to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 826 is the rule on this show is when people call in, we go to them. No matter, well, on some topics, we go to them. Except Gilbert, we sometimes make Gilbert wait a little bit. And the interns have to do. Sean used to be an intern. You're an intern for this show, right?
Yeah,
and
way
other
back
shows.
Today, yeah.
Way back. I think we have some good interns this year. We have some good, very sports forward interns out there. They're playing 82-0. That's how you know you're serious about sports when you play 82-0. A game where you have to pick players from different eras and teams. They give you an opportunity. Okay, who do you pick from this? Who do you pick from this? And you have to try to. And then there's a simulation which decides whether or not you picked a team that can go 82-0.
What record you win? There's a baseball version too.
What's it called? 162-0?
Yeah.
What?
And it's one of the funniest things. I overheard one break them. You know, you get the random teams or whatever and eras. And I overheard them one time being like, "Yo, Ty Cobb is cracked." It's just the funniest sentence I've ever. There's what 400 OPS.
yeah, you gotta
Ty Cobb.
Some of the so you have to go all the way back there. So that's ask your kids. If you have kids, ask them if they've ever played 82-0. If you don't know about it, you'll find out about it. They're really into 82-0. All right, 713-7. Have you done it at all, Dale?
No, there are some things I refuse.
I didn't think you would have done that. I didn't think you would do that. I have not done it, although my kids said they gave it to me on their phone, and I tried it once, and I was like, this is stupid. A team of LeBron and Kobe and Jordan. Well, you can't do them from every era, but I put together the greatest team. Well, actually, they kind of make it hard for you. You don't get to just pick players. They make it a little bit more difficult for you. And there's some randomization in there too, right? They say, okay, Miami Heat 90s, the 90s era, and they'll list or all the forwards from the 90s or something like that.
Well, you got to go position by position.
Yeah. Or you can decide if you want to use that position,
exactly.
Right? And now I filled a power forward. You don't
now
have any more power
in,
forwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're boxed in and you end up with Tayshaun Prince at small forward. And now you win 61 games. All right, Dell, who is that on the line? I can't see.
Elliot.
Elliot, let's get Elliot in here. What's going on, Elliot? How are we doing?
Hey, morning, guys. Happy Friday. Shortest wait times in the biz.
That's right.
Wanted to make a quick side note, and then I had a question. Side note, I'm really hoping Tony the Hatchet Man is going to make a return in the next few weeks. I wait patiently to hear his input and forecasting on the upcoming season.
We'll try to get Tony on. Yeah, we'll see if we can get him.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, I rely on him, so just want to make sure that's going to happen. So, yep. So my question was, and this is going to be a Steelers show for the next minute, but I saw a stat the other day that Mike McCarthy has like the exact identical resume compared to Harbaugh and to Sean Payton in regards to Super Bowl wins, win percentage, all that stuff, losses. And I'm curious, do you guys see any, or well, mainly you, Lance, you know, do you see a comparison? Do you think that he kind of gets a bad rap because of the Green Bay thing and Rodgers didn't get any of the blame and he did? Do you think it's not as bad of a hire in Pittsburgh? He's worked with some great quarterbacks with Dak and obviously Rodgers. And how do you think that's going to go in Pittsburgh? And I was really intrigued and surprised whenever they did a side-by-side. I don't recall where I saw it, but they did a side-by-side of those two coaches. And those guys get classified as top tier, and he gets classified as mid, as the kids say. So I want to know y'all's feedback on that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what your thoughts are on this, both of you guys, because if you're completely objective about Mike McCarthy, he's a pretty good coach. He doesn't fit. So he's a 62-year-old white guy.
He looks doofy. That's all this is.
Who looks, you know, who's pure Pennsylvania, who's got the big, thick neck, and he doesn't look like there's nothing that looks D'Amico about him, or there's Sean McVay, or you don't, you know, he's not some chiseled, rocked up guy. He's been around a long time. So he started, he actually was very young when he started, well, relatively young, 43, and he's 61 right now. He'll be 62. Actually, they didn't. Oh, yeah, he didn't coach last year. No, yeah, he did. No, Mike Tom. That's right. So he didn't coach last year. So he'll be coaching again now. So he'll turn 63 this year. He doesn't fit the cool, fun. He doesn't look the part necessarily. He is an older coach. No one gets excited about older coaches. He's been with three different teams now. So you kind of think, oh, he's a retread coach. But if you're objective about it, you know, he had three 12-win seasons in Dallas. He had three 12-win seasons, his sandwich with a 6-10 his first year in. You don't kill a guy his first year in. And then last year, or his last year, he was 7-10. They got rid of him. But he had three 12-5s in a row. In Green Bay, it was good. He won a Super Bowl in 2010. He had double-digit wins 2, 4, 6, 8 times while he was in Green Bay. That's not crazy to hit double digits 8 times when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. But and interestingly enough, his first year was 2006, the year Aaron Rodgers was drafted. So Brett Favre, he had the early era of it, early Brett Favre era. I don't think this is a bad hire. I really don't. I don't know about you guys. It's not going to be sexy. I do question Aaron Rodgers is not as good a player as he once was, and those two guys famously didn't get along at the end. He did get 2 years. He was 7-9 and then got fired in the middle of the season or later in the season, 4-7-1, where he was fired from Green Bay. And then there was a year in Dallas, 6-10. So he had a 3-year run of 7-9, 4-7-1, 6-10. That probably hurt people's perception of him a little bit. What are y'all thoughts about him being in Pittsburgh? He is a Pittsburgh guy. So it doesn't surprise me a lot that the Rooneys decided, let's go get him. And I'm not sure how many people were dying to go coach for the Steelers right now with Aaron Rodgers being up, you know, up for grabs. You didn't know if he was going to play. And even if he does play, you're not set at the quarterback position for the future.
Well, it's his third head coaching stop,
mm-hmm.
which in the history of the NFL, no one's won a title, right?
What, in the third stop?
In the third stop, has that ever happened?
You're probably right. Did yeah, you're probably
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not, at least, not
in,
off the top
at least
of
not
head.
In the modern era. So you're at least from since we've been alive, I would guess. So you're talking about a guy who was older. It's his third stop. He's a retread. And yes, he won a lot of games in Dallas. One playoff win. So he doesn't have a lot of playoff success recently. And people, right or wrong, believe those Green Bay teams. All those years of making the playoffs underachieve. He made that Super Bowl and won it back in 2010. And there wasn't and there have been playoff losses at home. Even with Aaron Rodgers, you really get hit with stuff if you're the head coach of a in-prime Hall of Famer and you don't win a lot. It's just, it falls on your head. And then he goes to Dallas. He has a good quarterback in Dak. And you don't win. People have been calling out Mike McCarthy and his offense despite it being productive for years, saying it's more of a, hey, the quarterback's doing a lot of the work to get things done despite
him being the play caller. So
I mean, he has had Aaron Rodgers, prime Aaron Rodgers, and Dak Prescott. Although Dak, I mean, all the 12 and 5 seasons were Dak Prescott.
Yeah, when he was healthy. Yes.
I think that's what it is. Is that with Aaron Rodgers? I mean, you coach Aaron Rodgers for what, over 10 years, mm-hmm. and you win one Super Bowl. It just feels like he kind of gets the scapegoated on that, where it's like it feels like an underachievement. And then in Dallas, they also, like, in those three straight 12-win seasons, they did lose in, like, pretty alarming
some
and
embarrassing playoff losses.
Yeah, like, they run out of time on a scramble against San Francisco.
Dak touched the ball. I mean, yeah. I don't know why it gets put on him, but it's still, when you look at it, you just see a loss in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then they get smoked by Green Bay at home, I think, that third time. I think they lost to San Francisco in San Fran one of the years, too.
And that happened, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think it's that, and then what we talked about earlier, which is he just kind of looks like a guy to rip on. It's just an easy punching bag situation. Although, I will say, like, the Elliott compared him to, like, John Harbaugh and Sean Payton. Like, maybe Sean Payton's different just because they were the one seed in the AFC last year, the Broncos. But, like, I don't think people are, like super over the moon about what John Harbaugh's done the last few years.
No, Mike, by the way, 18 years, Mike McCarthy's playoff record, 11-11. And you had some pretty good Green Bay teams. That's not...
Yeah, yeah.
That's not great. He was 10-8 with the Green Bay Packers.
Because they had some bad losses, too, as, like, a one seed.
10-8 with Aaron Rodgers in his prime.
Yeah.
Not ideal. So...
I think that's why he catches it. Is that and that you fire you're the Steelers, you never fire coaches. And so it's like Chuck Knoll,
Bill Cowher,
Mike Tomlin. It's like, isn't who are they gonna hire next?
And Knoll, it's retread. Cowher, Tomlin.
Yeah, and that goes back to 1970.
We had four coaches in 4 years at the Texans.
Yeah, right. And so you look at, like, all right, who's this next, like, decade-long successful coach that the Rooney's fine, and it's a guy who's on his third stop.
I don't think he makes it past 4 years at most.
Yeah, they
and
might.
It's just realistically, he doesn't have a quarterback. Like, even if Aaron plays okay this year, this is probably it.
They also don't have great, like, I mean,
the roster's
Metcalf,
not
great. Metcalf and Pittman are, like, you know, they're decent. You know, they're, like, Metcalf's a one, Pittman's a two. But they're not like,
there's
oh my God, ones
both.
And twos. Yeah. And so, you know.
Right. Your running back's not all world. You have an average offensive line.
Defense getting old.
So an aging defense. A secondary is a concern. Yeah. I mean, I expect them to be one of the more disappointing teams. I think if they hit seven, I think 7 wins is probably their mark in that division. It's going to be a bad division. Cleveland's going to be bad. I think Pittsburgh's going to be bad.
Yeah, and we'll see with Baltimore.
It's there for Baltimore or the Bengals. One of those two teams is going to jump up and win the division with 11 wins. We'll see which one it is. All right, we'll take a break. 8:38 right here. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Nope. Lance and Dell and Sean. What is it that you wanted to talk about today, Dell? What's something you were trying to save for your show?
It wouldn't be saved if I do it here. Well, we're going to be joined, as always, by Michael Carroll at 11:30. Mm-hmm. He would probably give a more succinct and profound review of the Odyssey, unlike what you did earlier today.
All right, if I'm being completely honest, I thought the cinematography was good. My wife, who's a book reader, of course, did the book reader thing, like, this script is this. I don't like the script. I'm like, they have to change the script a little bit so they can push things forward. She goes, well, guess what? He and who? It's a character that was played by Charlize Theron.
Calypso.
Yeah. She's like, in the book, they had sex every night. And I'm like, well, it would make him not as likable in the movies if he's you know, hitting that on the beach every night. And then he goes back to find his wife like, I was eating lotus flower. What? I didn't even know. I didn't even know you were around. You see, do you think that's going to fly with a wife? Oh, you're eating lotus flower. So that's why you didn't have a memory while you're doing that all the time. That's not going to work for anybody.
How dare you, Matt Damon?
Did they even have them doing anything? Like,
no, they just
was had, there even a mention of the fact that they just, were?
He was there for a long time. They had a lot of conversations.
Yeah,
about remembering.
They talk. I think there was some like
in the
but
book.
I was
she
in
said
love,
it was
right?
every night. She said it was every night.
Wife,
I said every night. I mean, even guys are going to be like, come on, not tonight.
Well.
I've been picking up wood on the beach all day.
Too much, yeah. I've got there's
Calypso,
kelp,
some
got
sort
kelp
of like
in my
deity,
toes.
Right? Is she the daughter of a god?
Yeah,
yeah. So maybe her powers was allowing for that to happen every
what
night.
Are you trying to say?
Perhaps she gave
the god
Odysseus
of Cialis?
the stamina to compete every night.
The Lotus Blue Chew.
Yeah, perhaps.
In this Lotus Blue Chew, it works quickly. So there was none of that. And you saw the woman, Emily Wilson, I think her name was.
The translator?
Yeah. She was not happy.
She didn't
this
like
movie
it.
Sucked.
Said it didn't
they
show.
Had no sex. The food didn't look good. Like, the food? Wait, what?
Said it didn't show really the rigors of war or something like that. She didn't like any of
it. Oh, no. Some of those scraps seemed pretty.
Like, the effects of war afterwards was what I meant. Or what
at
she
the very
meant.
End, they showed it on. At the very end, they showed it on Odysseus when they gave a little different view when everyone's getting their. Everyone's getting plundered.
Yeah,
when they took Troy, it's well done. It's a really good movie.
Spoiler:
Troy fell. He just spoiled that for everyone.
I didn't say anything about the horse.
What
I
horse?
Really did get a good
what
feel.
Horse?
I really did get a good feel.
Man, there's
for that.
A horse in this movie.
There's a horse,
a big one.
Oh man!
I was like, God, how far did they have to carry drag this thing?
You
all those
you saw how they had,
millions of slaves they had, or
I
whatever.
Have never
it was.
Seen how. Ponderous that task is, except in this movie.
Normally in cartoons,
that really hit for me. I was like, "Damn, man, that was a lot getting that thing back."
In pop culture, they put it on wheels for them.
Yeah, you know, like pushing it like it's a grocery cart.
Yeah,
and they got literally like 300 guys pulling it.
Just
9 inches at a time, like
from the beach.
It sounds like the rowing that Norway used to do. Yeah. Was it Norway?
Yeah.
Every single time they did that on
up
the
from
beach.
The beach up
I'm like, man,
Detroit.
Dragging stuff on sand, that's got to suck. If it really happened. No, what did you want to say, Dale? You were saying something.
Oh, I was saving. I pushed you in this direction to say stuff for my show. See what I did there? Now I don't have to use any of the stuff I'm going to use.
I'm not going to play any more of the Nick Caserio, because Nick didn't say anything on Rich Eisen's show that we didn't. CJ, I don't know, they're having productive conversations, and CJ had his best off season. CJ's had his best camp, which I have heard the same thing, that CJ's having a really good camp. The CJ's a fat schlub thing that's out there because he wore some kind of, like, he wore thrift shop clothes. He wore thrift shop clothes like my kids would wear. It was a bad look. Look, the shirt, the oversized.
The backpack.
The backpack was a terrible idea. Yeah. Whoever put backpack on.
Shorts. The N1 shorts that he had on.
The N1 shorts, the oversized white tee, the backpack, the shoes, the high tops with the duck feet. It just all made it look like he was schlubby and pudgy. The reality is he actually leaned down, is in better shape. The reality is he actually looks pretty good, but there's been, I mentioned it yesterday, Cam Newton came out and like, he's fat, he gained a bunch of weight or whatever, he's not in shape. Like, no, actually he's in probably his best shape that he's been since he's been a rookie.
In Sando's tears.
And we're going to have Mike Sando at 9 o'clock.
An unnamed defensive coordinator said pudgy schlub when talking about CJ Stroud.
Yeah, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't say
that's
pudgy
why
schlub.
That's why he's down
usually
to 20.
Usually you're having to check me on
that's
things
why he's
I make
down
up.
To 20.
Usually
in the rankings.
I know that it's all anonymous. That's Brian Flores that said that.
It had to be Brian Flores.
Brian Flores. Any super critical quote in the Sando thing, I in the back of my head, I'm like, Brian Flores said that about his own quarterback.
No, somebody said, and one anonymous coach called him soft-ass boy. I'm like, that's Ime. That's
asked
not even an NFL
an evaluator.
I asked a question yesterday. Ime Udoka couldn't coach CJ Stroud.
Nah.
There's no. Oh, you mentioned it, but there's no way. There's no way.
No. D'Amico likes him. Ime would not.
No, he would not like CJ Stroud.
Ime, I get the sense Ime doesn't like a lot of things. Like I get the sense you could make Ime, he could get upset with a waiter quick at a restaurant. Like, Ime would be like, why are you reaching across me? You know, to grab another dish or something. I could see Ime, if the food's taking a while, starting to get that look. Like, I hated eating with my dad at a restaurant because I knew, like, oh, man, please don't let us have a wait, long wait, and please let the food come out, especially after he had coached a – he had just gotten beat. I was in the Motor City Bowl. You don't want to be in Detroit at any point. And we're in the Motor City Bowl, and Byron Leftwich had just beat his Cincinnati team. And – we're in a restaurant in Detroit, some just like mid-level restaurant. It's no big deal. And so he's kind of in a bad mood anyway because they had lost. But he was really like hungry. He wanted to eat. And it was me and my brother and I think maybe my sister, the whole family was there. And he had that look on his face, that dad look when you realize he's getting pissed off because the food's not out yet. And I'm trying to distract him because I don't want him to go into full pissed off Larry Zerline mode. It's a bad look when dads get hungry and they're having to wait at a restaurant. That's what Ime, I know Ime's one of those guys.
That glare that he had,
yeah.
Just glaring at the
from across station. the waiters yeah. At the goofing around with somebody else at the water station.
Yeah.
And like he's all he can think of is, can I get some bread on my table at least or some chips?
I don't say anything, but I do get up a little perturbed and actually anxious when you can see into, I guess, the back of
and what, your food's sitting there?
Either it's sitting there or you're waiting to order or you're just waiting to buy something because you're in line and you can just look and you see the two people working there not doing anything related to work.
Oh, that's the worst.
It is.
That like, is
because
the worst.
For the most part, everyone has had a job like that where whether it's hourly or whatever, but you are part of customer service. And I'm sure it happened. I was a part of the problem at some point, too. But you just look back there and you're like, they know I'm here, right? Like, I was at a Wingstop a couple weeks ago, and I order online, and I go up there and I wait. And you can see, like, there's a division of labor. Some people are fryers. Some people handle the customers.
Fryers stay busy.
Yeah,
though.
And I'm not blaming them. But I look back there, and I'm looking at five people. Two of them are frying up some stuff. There's another person checking on some orders. I'm looking at the other two, and they're just doing nothing. And
that's
I'm like,
the lemon pepper
station. Am I standing here or not? I don't say anything, but I am my father's son.
Yeah.
And I know my dad. I had to become the buffer between my dad and customer service people. So
I have to do that with my wife now.
So
like I'm trying to get stuff done.
So I had to be a translator too, because the worst thing is when my dad shows a part of his personality, because he's where part of my personality comes from. He's got a dry sense of humor. He'll say things in a way that you can't tell if he's really joking. Because one time we were at a restaurant way back, and this woman let another person cut in front of her to get their food, and he goes, you don't look like you're hungry, like, because she got cut in front of, and she's like, no, fat people like to eat too. I was like, oh no, that was my first taste of it. and he was just talking about the fact that she allowed someone to cut in front of her, but she was a bigger lady, and then that was her response.
Didn't translate.
No, and now I've learned from that, and I really don't want him speaking to people in places. I do it, particularly now that he's older. It only gets worse.
Yeah, no, it only gets worse.
Yeah.
Well, when people get older, they really don't care. My son said that. He goes, I don't like old people's bit, that little bit they do where they don't care about anything anymore. I'm like, it's not a bit. Or he didn't use the word bit, but it's something like that that I thought was hilarious. He goes, you know, that little thing they do.
Gimmick where, that they do.
That gimmick. I think he used gimmick.
Yeah.
That gimmick where they don't care anymore. He goes, it's the worst when you get an old person who just their gimmick is they don't care. He goes, that's terrible. Because it happened to him. I think he had a movie? He had the same thing. He just had something happen with, no, it was getting off of a plane. He was trying to get off a plane and this old woman just cut the whole plane. She cut like seven rows. He goes, you know that old people gimmick where they don't care? I'm like, well, it's not a gimmick. They don't care. That's actually real.
They've lived long enough
now. They're like, what? What do I need to care?
Yeah.
Who care? What? What do I care? Let's break it. We'll combine breaks. But I'm going to do this right now. Let's do the first caller who can tell. We're going to give away a pair of tickets, two tickets to the listener appreciation party. You've got to be able to tell the interns or Sean, whoever answers, what the name of the songs that Dell took that I were singing, and Dell's turned them into a classic album.
He's
got the name of the album.
What's the album? What's the EP called?
What is the EP called for all the songs? My collection.
Sean, you want to remind people because this title's not in the song. I'll
tell them during the break.
Yeah.
Tell them during the break. 713-780-3776. If you're the first one to get it, you get tickets to St. Arnold. That's going to be our listener appreciation party on August 28th. You got to win tickets to win. It's invite only, and we're giving you a chance to win today right now. Right now, I want to talk about my good friends over at M&J Electrical Supply, Jeremy Coker. He is the owner, and he is the one who is going to make sure that you get those parts on time. He cuts down on any of your lead time. That's really important when you have, if you're a general contractor, electrical contractor, maintenance engineer, let's say you need some parts and you want to make sure that you get your parts quickly so that the people aren't waiting on your job, not getting things done. Well, you want to make sure that you can get parts when you need them. And M&J Electrical Supply, for three decades, they've been here in Houston providing supplies like, the circuit breakers, transformers, disconnects, panels, switch gears. Look, you guys in the business know exactly what you're looking for. They've got new parts. They've also got refurbished parts. The refurbished parts are going to cost you less. They come with a one-year warranty. They also work great. So whether you're buying or whether you're selling, they also will, M&J Electrical Supply will professionally remove the old electrical equipment from your job site and offer you good money for it because that's what they refurbish. They will remove it from you. They will offer you good money. And instead of taking scrapyard prices for it, let the professionals from M&J come out and do that. Emergency needs for electrical parts, they've got you covered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I-45 there at Steubner Airline near I-45 North in West Little York. Call today, 713-699-5055. That's M&J Electrical Supply.